¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin and primos are in the house. Hector Reyes and Nico Gutierrez.
What's up, guys?
Oh, get up, everybody, and sing. Oh, yeah, baby. I can't hit those high notes like Sister Sledge.
There you go. Hit that high note, man. That's that. That JT falsetto. You got that.
Oh man, this is the family. We are familia. Hey everybody, make sure you're following us on Twitter at familiaffb. Hector, we got you at
what the heck, two t's.
Yeah, and you got me at Jorge Martin 17. You got Ricky at Ricky Torres TV. He can't be here, he's actually on vacation, so he's enjoying a little mile high fun. And so make sure you're following our original content at Familia FFB and our Familia FFB Facebook page. So primos, it's a big week in my house, in my home.
Mi casa.
Kind of almost shed a tear. My 16-year-old daughter, Solana, she got her license, her driver's license.
Driving. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course she had to listen to that hit song, Driver's License, on her way home. So, so I got to tell you, spending so many hours with her in the front seat of the car. I actually put this up on Twitter. The only thing that's more nerve wracking is probably either dismantling a bomb or landing an aircraft carrier, landing an F-14 onto an aircraft carrier. So those are the only things more nerve wracking than being a parent sitting in the front seat, sitting in the passenger seat with your, you know, with your child.
Your kid driving.
heck, you got a few years before that. So
Yeah, just a few.
Brace yourself.
I can't believe she's 16. Just seems like last year she had her quinceañera, you know.
Oh, my God.
It's fuzzy math.
Exactly.
Oh, it's big, boys. It's big. I'm just
that's awesome.
Like, I'm not,
congrats, man. I'm not, congrats.
I don't know if I'm getting too young. I'm still too young for this kind of stuff to be happening.
Right.
I keep telling myself. So
there you go.
So it's also a big week. We are a week out. So this is dropping on Thursday, April 22nd. We are a week out from the NFL draft.
What?
So yep. So many questions are going to be answered. So many questions. And I'm going to start with one. I'm going to throw it at Nico because, first off, Trevor Lawrence, I feel like we've known since he won the national title as a freshman that he's the number one pick. He is the lock, pretty much the 99% lock to go to the Jaguars. And from everything we're seeing, Zach Wilson to the Jets looks like 98% possibility.
Wow.
So what's next? Nico, you're in the backyard of the 49ers. You had Pro Football Talk a month ago saying that the pick was Trey Lance out of North Dakota State, the guy who, for my money, looks like Steve McNair 2.0.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks ago, Adam Schefter and Chris Sims reported that it looked like Mac Jones was now going to be the lock to be the guy. So
for the Niners?
To the Niners at number three. So the Alabama, you know.
Alabama QB.
I always
love that. Roll Tide.
Yeah. And now, but of course, now I looked at the DraftKings sportsbook this morning. So, you know, betting is almost legal. Jones is now -150. And Justin Fields out of The Ohio State University is -160. Neither of these guys has thrown a pass in 3 months. So how in the hell are we now looking at Jones and Fields being like the near lock when, if, you know, 3 weeks ago was another guy. So Nico, you're in the Bay Area. You are our correspondent from San Francisco. What's been the chatter up there between the media and the fans on who they're going to draft?
Well, I think it's me and Mr. Jones. Yeah, since we can't get Fabio football, you know, Justin Fields, I mean, that seems like we'll score more. It's very exciting. But, I mean, the Niners have always been very structured. And I think we always wanted a Joe Montana, right? And Jones is kind of like that steady, you know, don't need to run, but if he passes it and gets the team together, I think they'll end up going Jones. You know, that I think they're trying to throw people off on what they're going to do. But Yeah, when said and done, I think it's going to be Jones.
Man. Ooh. Man, what do you think, Heck? If
I don't know, man. I was watching a little game film on Trey Lance the other day, and man, I don't know how they don't go with that guy. I mean, he was like 16-0 or something at is it North Dakota State? The same college as Carson Wentz, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, he just looks solid. I mean, they did it was like a whole little thing on him, like a little package that they did on him. I think it was ESPN. And man, the guy looks impressive, man. So I don't know. I don't know if they could pass up on him. So I'd be surprised if they do. But again, this is that time of year when, you know, people are, you know, it's sleight of hand, you know, and it's, you know, look over here, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. So everyone's they're all playing games. They're all trying to misdirect and get you to focus on different things. But you know, they know at this point, I think the Niners know who they're going with, and stories that come out, they're just trying to get all the other GMs discombobulated, and you know, they don't want any other GMs to, you know what they're doing and to have things locked in. So the more that GMs can keep other GMs off balance, the more they're going to do it. So, you know, if Trey Lance was a lock a couple weeks ago, I can't imagine. Like you said, they haven't thrown a pass in how long? So why would it change from Trey Lance? If nothing else, then just, you know, it's a sleight of hand and just chatter. It's just kind of, you know, moving the goalpost and moving the narrative in a different direction. When, you know, at the end of the day, I think they'll probably roll with Lance. It's my opinion.
You think? I see. I'm feeling Fields.
Yeah.
So okay. I like all three of them for different reasons. I like I like Mac Jones because he's so accurate. I like, so this is funny. Hey, you know what? How about a beer bet? Three-way beer bet.
Sounds like a beer bet.
We got Nico with Mr. Jones, and Heck, you got Trey Lance and Justin Fields
from way downtown.
So, and I'll take Justin Fields. I like Justin Fields. You know, one stat that Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network, who is just a math genius, she pointed out that from a clean pocket, that Justin Fields has thrown 54 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions. And that's going to be what he's, you know, ideally what he sees the most. And he still runs. So, I mean, all three of them, I mean, they're all going to that Kyle Shanahan offense. And I know, Heck, you're not a big fan because, you know, his coaching.
Kyle Shanahan, the loser of the two most lopsided Super Bowls in recent memory. He lost both of them. The number one and number two biggest choke jobs in Super Bowl history were both Kyle Shanahan. It's insane.
The Shanahan can. The Shanahan can.
Well, the one thing is he does know how to get you there. So he does know how to scheme to get you there. So, and you know, hey, as far as
then he chokes
that's fine. From a fantasy football standpoint, we care about the season.
Yes, exactly. That's true.
We want to see him. So I'm kind of like, I look at Justin Fields and I think he's the whole package. He's the guy who could come in early, but it's going to be so delicious. To me, the draft starts there. But I also think it really starts at number 4 in Hotlanta. What do the Falcons do?
Pits. Atlanta, it's the pits, man.
Okay, go pits. For it, baby. Go for it. Dígame.
Right. So Kyle Pitts, I think we've jumped on this, talked about this a couple of times. He's a perfect fit over there in Atlanta. Matt Ryan has got he's getting paid for the next 3 years, right? He's still gonna he's gonna be in the driver's seat over there in Atlanta. So, you know, he can really use a nice new weapon over there. Julio Jones is, as we say, getting a little long in the tooth, although he's, you know, he's still Julio Jones, but you know, anything that could open up that offense and open, you know, more things up for Julio Jones would be great. But Kyle Pitts just looks like the real freaking deal, man. The guy just looks amazing. And, you know, he put out a statement the other day, I think it was on his Twitter. He said something like, you know, I want to be the best to ever do it. You know, it's just like, whoa, I mean, that's a lot of pressure, but the guy's built. We talked about it last week. You know, he's built like he's definitely up there as one of the larger wide receivers, which is what he'll play. You know, right? He's going to be like another DK Metcalf size, you know, tight end. You know, he's going to run a receiver. He's fast. He's got great hands. So I think Atlanta could definitely use that in their offense, and I think that they're going to stick with Mr. Pitts there, and it's going to be the Pitts in Atlanta.
Yeah, he's like 1 or 2 inches taller than Megatron, and he's like 10 pounds heavier and just as fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I mean, I look at him and I know I've heard people, Thomas Dimitroff, who was the GM in Atlanta up till about 6 months ago. He said he would go for the quarterback. And I keep coming back to the fact that you got Arthur Smith, who's a rookie head coach, and he's going to want to win right away. So sure. And you know, you got a rookie GM also. I think he's going to want to win right away. He's going to want to go. The both of those guys are going to want to go to the playoffs. You got to pay, like you said, heck, you got to pay Matt Ryan for 3 more years. So you can't get out of that contract. Yeah. He's still, you know, he's 35. He's still in that quarterback prime. And, you know,
they can be the quarterback next year or the year after that. If he's going to be playing for 3 more years, why, you know, this isn't the last good QB draft. I mean, next year there could be some other great ones. Year after that, there could be some great ones.
Every year. 35, he's like a baby Brady, you know?
I know. What is it? He's like 8 years younger than Brady?
Exactly. He's like a rookie compared to Tom Brady.
He was in kindergarten when Brady was in eighth grade.
Exactly. No, he was in kindergarten when Brady was a rookie.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's what it seems like. Jeez.
Actually, you know what? I think when Brady was a rookie, Matt Ryan may have been like, you know, like a sophomore in high school. So, you know, right. So just got to love that.
Crazy.
Got to love that. But I really feel like the draft starts there. So, and it's going to be some crazy stuff. We may see five, you know, there's all these prop bets coming up that, you know, we talked about the prop bets with, we've talked that Greggy Greg will have a field day. We're going to be going crazy with DraftKings with Greggy Greg on text next week. But you know, you get the prop bets. When is Fields going to go? When is Lawrence going to go? When is Wilson going to go? I mean, the numbers are crazy. To me, and that's where it really told me. It's like, what does Vegas know that they're setting that they're moving the line? That Justin Fields, somebody's putting in crazy money to move Justin Fields up. And it's to me, it's always a little bit fishy that way. So, you know, I think one of the other prop bets that I love that DraftKings did is, so how many quarterbacks get taken in the first round? You got five that we're talking about, but the number is 5.5. Do you take the under?
Take the under for sure.
You're going to go over. It's tempting to go over, isn't it? Like somebody could sneak in and grab a Davis Mills or a Kellen Mond or a Kyle Trask at the end. Somebody's in love with him. Kind of like the Packers were in love with Jordan Love last year.
But I don't know if that many teams would, you know, I don't know if that many teams would need a first round quarterback. You know what I mean?
Right.
This doesn't seem like that's, it seems like a reach for a lot of teams. I think most teams are in a pretty good place. You know, those teams that need a QB, those are the guys that are taking, you know, the first four, you know, that we've talked about. I don't think anyone's going to go over five. There's I don't think that's a possibility. You know, I'd take the under, like you said, take the under.
It's a lot of emotion. I mean, do you guys remember the year when Reggie Bush had to be number one? It was no brainer. It's like you'd be an idiot not to take it. So what does Texas do? They pick up Clowney. Everyone. I mean, I think the guy got fired. And ended up being the, you know, what happened to Bush a few years later, and Clowney's still, you know, out there just killing it. You know,
so. Right.
Yeah, Bush is still out there. Bush is on, you know, now doing TV commentary, and Clowney's still just signed with the Browns. So, gotta love that.
Oh, that's gonna be awesome. Did he sign? I knew they were talking about.
Yeah, he signed with the Cleveland Browns.
I think Clowney's best days are behind him. I think last year he didn't even record not one sack. I think is what I saw.
So I think you're right.
Yeah, so he's not the Clowney that, you know, he has the name, but definitely not the performance. So
he's not the droid we're looking for.
No, these are not the droids you're looking for.
So stop clowning my clown.
So I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we've talked a lot about taking the first round running back and how it doesn't always work out. You know, CEH, the jury's still out. Josh Jacobs but now fewer and fewer running backs are getting taken in the first round. And, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, some of these guys in a little bit, but, you know, DraftKings has the over under at 0.5. So one running back going in the first round puts it, you know, is the over. Who's tempted?
Man, Is Najee Harris going to first round?
It could be. Could be Pittsburgh. Could be one of the first round picks from the Dolphins or the Jets or the Jaguars.
I don't know. How big is he? Because I'm just thinking that, you know.
He's big.
Okay.
He's big. So, he's like 230. He's like 6'1", 230. 6'1", 232.
Okay. Yeah, because you know, I think teams will take a chance for that. You know, that big bowling ball running back. You know, I think if Najee Harris, I think someone, I would take the over on that. I would say that someone's going to take Najee Harris first round.
How about you, Nico?
Yeah, I just think, you know,
Derrick Henry. You know, Derrick Henry's have been blowing up. I think someone wants a Derrick Henry 2.0. If Najee Harris can be that fit with somebody, I think they'll do that.
I think the days of your one running back and that's, you know, you're going to hang everything on that are gone. I mean, running by committee is the way, you know, the way things are going now. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'll take Derrick Henry all day. So.
Well, he was the
second. I don't want to give anything away.
But we'll talk about what round he went in, and it wasn't the first.
Exactly. So. Exactly. This is true, too.
But, yeah, I look at that one and – I think about it to me, it depends. The one that's the big question mark is Pittsburgh. Does Pittsburgh fall in love with Najee Harris that they need him in the first round, or can they wait until the second round and they grab a lineman in the first round? Cause they need help on the offensive line.
Right.
So to me, it hinges on Primo Jose, the Steelers fan for our Familia League.
But who's the Pittsburgh Steelers running back now? Didn't they get rid of
Connor? Connor signed as a free agent, so
there you go.
They need somebody.
So there you go. I think Pittsburgh and Najee Harris would be a match made in heaven.
It would be pretty. So,
take the over. I think let's see if they scoop them up. That's tempting. If you're a Pittsburgh GM, that's tempting for sure.
That'd be fun. Oh, that'd be so much fun. Yeah, I'm looking at that. Do you guys got any other prop bets that you're kind of excited about on the draft?
Ooh, let me see here.
No.
How about what does it say about anything about, you know, first tight end taken or anything like that? Because you know Pitts is going first.
Yeah, Pitts is. Let's see.
Because he's officially a tight end, but he's versatile, man.
Actually, you know what? Here's the thing. He's such a lock that they didn't even put a lineup for tight end. I'm looking at everything else: running back, receiver. They've got a quarterback. They don't have one for quarterback, yeah, because everybody thinks that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the guy, and they don't. Yeah, it's they're such a big favorite. It's like Mike Tyson and you know, Buster Douglas, 42-1. They don't want to get paid off on that.
Right.
On
those, but did you guys hear that Trevor Lawrence? I think it's Trevor Lawrence just got engaged, I guess, and
he just got married.
Oh, married there,
like
there
last
was.
Weekend.
Yeah,
and football.
No. So the story is that I guess, I don't know if you guys heard this, but he had his wedding registry, you know, on, you know, Macy's.com or whatever it was, and a bunch of fans from Jacksonville like purchased a bunch of like wedding gifts for him and his wife and sent them to him. They had a story on it. I thought it was hilarious. So. If that doesn't say, you know, you're a lock, you know, for the Jags, you know, then nothing does. So I think Vegas is right to not have a prop bet for that. Trevor Lawrence is essentially already been picked.
How amazing is that?
Yeah.
They're definitely putting out the welcome mat. And this is someone who's just about to sign millions of dollars worth of contract worth millions of dollars. And yeah, he's not going to, I think it's cute that they actually registered, but
that's pretty funny.
But awesome. Yeah, that one's funny, but yeah. So they're making the Lawrences feel very much at home in Jacksonville.
There you go.
But yeah, that one's gonna be fun. So, well, let's get into a quick cheeseman before we.
Cheeseman.
So, boys, we're pouring one out for Alex Smith and Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed, man, I'm glad he retired, man. One more concussion and gee whiz, right?
Yeah, that one's a tough one. Alex Smith, I mean, what an incredible comeback. And Jordan Reed was an incredible comeback. So
yeah.
both incredible players. I mean, but for both fantasy and real life, just, you know, I mean, Alex Smith almost lost his, not just his leg, but almost lost his life. So
yeah, yeah.
Salud, boys. Salud to both of them. Salud to both
definitely.
Of them.
As they sail off into the distance of retirement.
I hope Alex Smith will
pick up something.
I hope he mentors somebody else like he did for Patrick Mahomes.
Oh yeah,
he'll be a coach somewhere. But I mean, the ESPN special on him, what he went through, I had no idea. I mean,
amazing.
They literally reconstructed the leg and put the muscle around just bone. I'm like, wow, I had no idea.
It's like $6 million man, like Steve Austin, right? Remember that in the 70s?
Yeah.
Who? Bigger, stronger, faster.
How old are you guys? I don't understand.
Whatever, man. You were putting that on the TV when I was over, and I had to watch it because that's what you wanted to watch.
Yeah, I was referring to the Earl Anthony last show.
Oh, yes, you did. Nico's our resident 70s reference.
Yeah, so I was old and a geek, a bowling geek. So I...
Yes. Yeah, you had that, the Brunswick there on the Sierra Highway in Lancaster?
Yes, we did.
And that Brunswick bowling alley, man. Classic.
Oh, man. Well, I know Patrick Mahomes, he retweeted a couple of nice things about Alex Smith. So
very cool.
You know, good for him. Good, yeah. You know, good for Alex Smith getting out alive, man.
Yeah, man.
One little bit of cheese, man, and it's Nico. It's perfect that we had you on for this one because it's another one with the 49ers. Wayne Gallman, formerly of the Giants, who subbed in for Saquon Barkley, signed with the 49ers.
Hey,
so another member of the committee, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, and now Wayne Gallman. Yeah, they sound like a law firm of Mostert, Wilson, and Gallman. So.
Totally sounds like a law firm. Who was that guy? Going off on a tangent here. Remember that running back from I think it was the Patriots that they used to call him the law firm. What was his name?
Oh yes,
he had three last names and they called him the law firm.
My God.
We'll have to find him. But that guy was. That was, he had the coolest name. Like, they called him the law firm. Like, oh, that's the greatest nickname ever.
Well, what's the one they named after the beer in the LA firm? Something Parker.
Larry H. Parker.
Oh, Ben Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Yes, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Yes, the law firm. Oh, the best. That is the best. Yes. Awesome.
Oh man. Well, hey, you know what? We talked about the Buccaneers being a running back tandem that we don't want to touch. I think the 49ers is another one. I mean, it's
right there.
It's
a tough one. Yep.
It is a tough one. So
I mean, Tampa Bay, you just put it on the shelf, let it sit there for a while, and then you bring it back, you know.
Just see who's upright at the end and ride that guy. Ride the caballo. Mm-hmm. Vámonos. Well, let's do a little vámonos with NFL draft bargains, boys.
All right.
Well, primos, so last week we talked about the big bus because we like big bus and we cannot lie.
Hey.
So, Nico, I set you up for that one.
That was a good one.
I get my drum set up in time.
So this week we're talking about the bargains. You know, those players who got drafted after the first round, after some busts, and made the teams that passed on them look on these studs, they looked horrible, sometimes for a long time. So we're not going to talk about Brady. We're not talking about Drew Brees. Those guys, their stories have been told forever about how
ad nauseum.
Yeah. So, we'll, you know, like last week, we're going back as far back as 2010. So, and like last week, we're going to go forward. So there's some interesting picks. So on the quarterbacks, and I kind of came down to 2012. The 2012 draft, we had Russell Wilson going in the third round at number 75 and Kirk Cousins going in round four, number 102. Here are the guys who got picked earlier. Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, Ryan Tannehill, Brandon Whedon, Brock Osweiler. Nick Foles got picked between Wilson and Cousins. How amazing is that? Really only Tannehill is the guy. I mean, obviously Luck had some good years, but Tannehill's the only guy who's a productive NFL player. I had picked ahead of those guys.
The other guys are out of the league, right? I mean, RG3, he's a backup, I think.
He was a backup, but he just got – I forget who he signed with. So I don't – he might still be a free agent, but everybody else is out.
So Andrew Luck is out. RG3 is a backup. Brandon Whedon is out. Brock Osweiler is way out.
And Nick Foles is a backup. So, yeah. I mean, think about it. You the the Seahawks landed on Wilson, and he has started every game for 9 seasons.
That's crazy. Although Nick Foles has Nick Foles can't really be a bust, right? I mean, he does have a championship ring. So yeah, I think Nick Foles is. But yeah, like I said, he's picked in between Wilson and Cousins. So yeah, he's a good dude. Yeah.
No, but yeah, I mean, you look at Wilson. I mean, his body of work. I mean, 5 seasons with 30 plus TDs. Started every game. He beat out Matt Flynn, who was a high priced free agent signing. I mean, that takes balls for Pete Carroll to sit down a $10 million guy at that time, who was one of the players.
Everyone was like, "What? They're gonna start? You know, who's this guy? Russell Wilson, and sit down Matt Flynn. They're a high flyer. That was wild. I remember that."
Launching a big career. He throws 40 TDs last year. He had 840. I had to do a double take. He had 849 rushing yards in his third year in the league. I mean, just amazing player. Just an amazing player and a third round pick. Why they're talking about why they don't want to make him happy? Yo no sé.
Crazy.
But the other one kind of came out of nowhere. Kirk Cousins. Yeah. Should we call him Primo? Should we call him Kirk Primo?
There you go.
Is there Nico? Is there a Spanish version of Kirk?
Kirko? No.
Maybe Kiki.
Kiki. Kiki. There you go. Kiki is as close as you're gonna get. Primo Kiki. Man. El Primo Kiki.
Chato, right? Yeah. Isn't it? Chato's for everything. So.
There you go. Chato Primo. So there we go. But yeah, he got picked in the same draft as RG3. Both got picked by Washington, which is very interesting. Though I've heard some rumblings that actually RG3 was the pick of the owner, and then Mike Shanahan, Kyle's dad, and Kyle was one of the assistant coaches at the time. Mike Shanahan wanted to pick Cousins just for insurance.
Wow, insurance.
And look at what we got. You know, he's been a star since his fourth year, starter in the not a stud, not, you know, he's had a good season.
Definitely serviceable at the very least. Sure.
Yeah. Five seasons of 4,000 plus yards passing. He threw for 4,900 in 2016, and last year he had 35 TDs for the Vikings. I mean, think about that. He's been a difference maker on two teams. He unlocked Justin Jefferson last year. He had Adam Thielen be a stud. Just phenomenal. Just
He's made playoffs too, right? Didn't he make that pass with a couple of years back when they beat Drew Brees and the Saints? He made that like last second TD pass and they beat the Saints. Remember that?
That was actually Case Keenum.
Case Keenum really?
Oh, yep. It was Case Keenum because he got – it was after that season they signed Cousins to be
Keenum's
replacement.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and he was – but he did so well in Washington. So where he had as his offensive coordinators at one point, he had Kyle Shanahan was his offensive coordinator, and then later he had Sean McVay. So pretty incredible. Pretty incredible story with him. A year before – we had Colin Kaepernick. Nico, we're staying in the San Francisco theme. You know, look at the guys he got picked behind. Cam Newton, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder. Three of those guys are out of the league. And Andy Dalton. All those guys got picked ahead of Kaepernick. And I remember, Jim Harbaugh, when they were looking to pick him, they thought he was the best player in the draft. And they got him in the second round.
Wow. I thought he was crazy for putting Kaepernick in front of Alex Smith. It's like, what are you doing? Like, you're going to ruin it, everything. And, you know, Alex Smith was good. Who knows what would have happened? But I think that's the year we went to the Super Bowl.
Yes, right.
We see it.
And the only reason you lost was because there was a power outage.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the Niners were rolling. The Niners, he has had all the momentum. Everything was rolling. I think Kaepernick had just run off like a 60-yard touchdown, like set a record. Like the Niners are just rolling in that Super Bowl against the Ravens, right? And then next thing you know, the lights turn off, the power goes out.
Yeah, I'm not saying that people from the future came back and turned off the lights because they knew it was going to happen, but it could have
happened. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was Biff from Back to the Future. You know, he wanted to collect on his bet on the Baltimore Ravens.
That's right. I'm gonna
take a 1-minute break. Be right back, guys. Be right back.
All right. So Nico, you But yeah, I mean, how amazing was he? I mean, to look at Kaepernick during that time, he runs for 415 yards, and he almost, I know there had been guys before him with Michael Vick and RG3 at that. Well, RG3 came after him, but you had Cam Newton was in that draft. I mean, that was almost like the start of the renaissance of the running quarterback.
Well, the thing is, he was passing and he was dropping dimes. I mean, he was getting like 300 yards all the time. And it's like a running quarterback who's throwing these, like, you know, surgical throws right in the end zone between three guys. It's like, wow, that this is something different, you know. So, and, you know, Wilson was doing the same thing. And you had these guys that all of a sudden they were running. And then, you know, it all changed. The game changed. Then you had multiple running backs. You could do, you know, you had the drop off. You know, it's just they keep talking about the West. And the Niners, how they were doing running everything, West Coast offense and everything. But, you know, that was just like one thing. But now it's all different now. And I love it because then from a fantasy standpoint, anyone can get it. I mean, your tight ends would never get anything. And now you got Kittle down the middle, you know.
Well, you know what? And I think, you know, even though it's a different coaching staff, you got Kyle Shanahan, who definitely likes to, he likes to scheme guys open. He likes to, he doesn't mind having his quarterback run a little bit. Jimmy G will take off and run. I mean, I think this is a big year for Jimmy G. And maybe he wants to, maybe he looks at some stuff like that Kaepernick did back then, using a little bit of run pass option. But yeah, it's utterly amazing.
Well, like, they talk about it. I mean, I don't think they realize, like, almost every time he's out there, they win. And almost every time that he's not there, they lose. I mean, it's sure he's getting hurt, but it's kind of like, you got to understand, if he stays healthy, it could be the most insane, you know, year ever. I mean, he hadn't lost a game for his first 10
years. Back. Quarters.
And cool, that's why I think Hector, you know, we just need to get him off the show.
Oh, whoops.
Take a minute break, buddy. That doesn't happen here.
we hit a little tangent on Jimmy G talking about the 49ers. But, nice. You know, speaking of other, you know, and again, a guy who benefited a little bit from Colin Kaepernick was Dak Prescott. You know, going in the round four in the 2016 draft, number 135 overall, here are the guys who went before him. Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch out of the league, Christian Hackenberg out of the league, Jacoby Brissett backup, Cody Kessler backup, Connor Cook done out of the league. And you get a year of 3,600 yards passing in his rookie year, 282 yards rushing and six. He was the QB6 that year. I remember he was the guy who took Manny to the championship that year. So, I remember that. You know, and threw a touchdown at the end of the game to beat Ricky. So, Ricky, we got to, you know, we're turning the knife on you a little bit. And Manolo,
little twist.
Manolo, hope you're listening. So, and I hope congrats. You're still enjoying all those pictures of that championship. But, you know, you had Dak Prescott throw 4,900 yards a couple years ago. And he's, you know, he signed the big fat contract. But again, another bargain. Late in the draft.
Yeah, that was a weird one. I mean, Goff and Wentz are on completely different teams, so that's to be seen. But you know, kind of a bust. Kind of. Paxton Lynch, like you said, done. Hackenberg, no. Brissett, no. Kessler, no. Cook, no. And there's Prescott, round four at pick number 135, just like still tearing it up. Like, wow, that's the definition of a bargain.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, let's get into the running backs. We got a lot of them, so we're going to try and jump through them fairly quickly. So starting with the 20, so we're going to go a little bit backwards. Starting with the 2017 draft, you had Alvin Kamara going in round three at number 67. You had Kareem Hunt going round three, number 86. I think by this point, we're seeing a lot of teams that are taking their running backs later. I mean, this, this was a year where CMC and Leonard Fournette go in the first round, but the Saints hit gold with Kamara, where he got over, you know, he got almost 1,600 yards and 13 touchdowns. He has 58 total touchdowns in his first four seasons. And Kareem Hunt led the league in rushing as a rookie. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously he had some issues but now he's a good, like, number two option with the Browns. I mean,
right.
I just amazing to see these guys coming in at this point.
Man, round three, that's crazy. Number 67, Kamara, 86, Kareem Hunt. Like, wow.
Just amazing.
Yeah. And I think that's the most recent example. Like you said, you're starting with 2017. That was now 4 years ago. But we are still seeing that there was already kind of a shift away from, yes, Fournette went the first round. But man, guys like Kamara and Hunt, because Kamara, at one point he was at Alabama, right? So it's not like he was an unknown guy. Right. People knew about him.
He was. I mean, he was lost in that backfield. Who knows what would have happened if he would have stayed? I mean,
right?
If he stays, does he win? You know, but you know, quién sabe. Yeah, I mean, he was backing up Derrick Henry.
Exactly. Go figure, man. Too much good stuff over there in Alabama that year, man. That's nuts.
So you know, I won it this year, and I'm not bragging, but you know,
yes,
I
forgot to
say it earlier.
Feel free.
I won fantasy this year, and my pick, I think I was number three, and I picked Barkley, right? And he got hurt, what, week one?
Two.
And so basically, I didn't have any running backs, but everyone else kind of carried me. It was enough to get me through the end. So again, the whole importance of having that stud one guy up front, you know, I think plays out as it does with them, as it does with us. You know,
That's true.
Amazing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got to hit your home runs. You can lose your draft. You can lose everything early, but you can actually win it in those middle rounds. But I think you know, when I see Kamara and Hunt going like this, and some of the guys we're going to talk about, this is what has me wanting to take the under on that with no running backs getting picked in the first round next week. It's making me want to take the under. So
interesting. Yeah.
Well, you know, we've talked ad nauseum about Derrick Henry, so we won't have to, you know, go through him a lot. You know, 1,540 yards, 2,000 yards last year.
What else can you say? What else is there to say? You already know what you got with Derrick.
Second round pick. He had to wait until year three for him to really take over. I think that's why he's got some extra bullets.
I had him on my team, DeMarco Murray, over there. What are they doing? Why was DeMarco Murray starting over Derrick Henry? They're crazy over there.
Well, he had one good year with both of them on the team at the same time. But again, you know, you spent money and then you bought a running back, and now you got to pay the running back when you could have had him run like crazy.
Yeah.
But you had Nico, you remember David Johnson from 2015. He was such as you had him that year. He was such a stud.
Beast mode.
Just.
And it's like, again, you're like, oh, he's going to be solid for 10 years like that. And it's like, then what happened? You know, and Arizona just, you know, had some tough times. And I don't know what was going on over there. But again, when your running backs start to fail on you, a franchise just kind of falls apart. It's like, because they depend so heavily on that. And I don't think they should. I mean,
yeah,
New England, double get two good tight ends, boom, you're golden.
Yeah, well, you do that, you get, and now we're starting to see more and more committees. You don't want to spend your big money on your running backs, so because they run out of, like Devonta Freeman, a guy we talked about. You know, he had two 1,000 yard seasons, and then he pretty much went over the cliff. He got picked in round four. You had Le'Veon Bell. Huge player, picked in round two, 1,300 yards. This is what has me, you know, this is the same administration. Mike Tomlin was definitely there. So that's what has me thinking that Pittsburgh's going to wait on a running back and grab somebody in the second round, not the first. But I mean, right. Le'Veon Bell, such an amazing player. You know, it was amazing looking at his Pro Football Reference page. 1,300 yards in his second year, 85 receptions his third year. I mean, just an incredible player. That's why I think they're gonna wait on running back, and go for one there.
Yep.
But you know, and Lamar Miller, a round four running back. I mean, these are the guys got picked in front of him: Trent Richardson, Doug Martin, David Wilson, Isaiah Pede. Remember him?
Oh, Isaiah Pede.
Oh, wow. LaMichael James, Bernard Pierce. And this guy had two 1,000-yard seasons. Those guys, nada mucho.
LaMichael James was a stud, right? Didn't LaMichael James hit to what? Is it Oregon? Oregon State?
Yeah, Oregon.
I think it was. Oregon. And he was a stud. I remember there was so much hype over, LaMichael James. The guy was like a touchdown machine in college. I couldn't wait to see him in the pros, and then he just did nothing. I was just like, what happened to LaMichael James? It's crazy.
And now he's a divorce lawyer.
That's what happens. I mean, that's, you know, it's you know, that you think there's, you know, the NFL draft is just such a, there's so many variables that go into these picks. You just, you know, you know, these GMs get paid a lot of money to do their homework and make the best picks that they can. But as we've seen, you know, just going through this exercise, there's so many things that can just go sideways, and some that you can control, some that are out of your control. And this guy is just, they may be super studs and all, you know, all the boxes are checked, and they get to the NFL and then there's nothing.
Yeah.
Like Trent Richardson, perfect example, same thing, another guy, Alabama, you know, and nothing, just like, wow, man.
And then, but you get a guy. Man.
Blue Gatorade, right? Blue Gatorade.
Well, then you get a guy like DeMarco Murray in 2011, getting picked in round three, our last running back.
He was a beast in Dallas, man.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. His third year, he went for 1,845 yards on 392 carries. And then he had a couple good years in Tennessee, but you know where he basically blocked Henry from becoming a stud.
That was that was weak. Because I picked Henry on my team, and I was like, yes, I have Derrick Henry. I can't wait for them to give him the ball. But they never gave him the ball. He's like, oh, DeMarco Murray for 2 yards. DeMarco Murray for 3 yards. Like, come on, man, what are you doing?
And all the guys who got picked in front of him, Mark Ingram, Ryan Williams, Shane Vereen, Michael LaShore, Daniel Thomas, only Ingram did anything.
Yeah.
Only Ingram. Just amazing. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wait on your running backs. Unlike in fantasy football, in the real NFL, you wait on your running backs. So, Well, let's go to the receivers. And, you know, it was amazing to see Emmanuel Sanders got picked in the third round in 2010. He was the eighth wide receiver picked in that draft, and he's still playing in the league. So there's so many significant guys, you know, so many guys that I was like, who's that guy?
Dexter McCluster, man. I remember that name. Dang.
Yeah. But it really took until him going to Denver where he hooked up with Peyton Manning, where he just became a stud and had 3 1,000-yard seasons. So.
Right. Right. That always helps when Peyton Manning's your quarterback and then Drew Brees is your quarterback. And so that kind of helps your career a little bit.
But you hear about these guys going and they'd run the drills. And they make it automatic because the quarterback's throws somewhere and the guy's nowhere there, but he's going to end up there. And they got it down. And you hear these guys going early before, you know, the two-a-days and getting the practice in. And those are the guys that seem to get it, you know. And once they can do that, because how are you supposed to guard a guy when he knows where the ball is going to be even before he's even looking for it, you know? So practice, right?
Muy cierto, right. Primo, muy cierto. So 2012, you know, T.Y. Hilton, Paris's, older brother. this dude had 5 1,000-yard seasons as a round three pick, number 92 overall. You know, he led the league with 1,448 yards in 2016. I mean, he's been one of the best deep threats. They re-signed him for another year. I mean, how incredible. What a return there. Almost as big as the Chargers got in 2013. Grabbing Keenan Allen in round three, number 76 overall. He was picked behind 7 wide receivers. 3 of these guys are out of the league: Justin Hunter, Aaron Dobson, Terrence Williams. And, you know, Allen battled through injuries for a couple of years after he had 1,000 yards in his rush in his rookie season. And now he's averaged 100 yards receiving, 100 receptions a season for the last 4 years. And he's still one of the top receivers in the league. And he's just 29.
Oh, yeah.
That one's for Ricky. That one's totally for Ricky.
There you go. Little Keenan Allen talk, Rick. There you go.
Oh, I don't think he's going to go until round 5, you guys. So don't worry about
it. I got him in round 7 in our
draft. I have a feeling I'm thinking round 3 or 4 this. He's not getting past round 4 this year.
So Rick hosted. We know he was discombobulated, but so for Rick to let Keenan Allen go without picking him in the first 7 rounds, there had to be something wrong. So I think Rick, maybe there was a little bit of too much sunlight and too many beers there, perhaps.
It was hot that day.
Some games he would have like 10 yards, and some he'd have like 180 yards. So he was hit or miss, though.
Well, two guys that really hit were Devontae Adams and Allen Robinson in 2014. What a draft. I mean, eight guys got picked before Adams. I mean, 8 receivers got picked before Adams. Sammy Watkins, you know, including Kelvin Benjamin, Marquise Lee, Paul Richardson, Cody Latimer. Some of these guys are like, who Guinness is it?
Right.
And I mean, yeah, one guy, there was one guy sandwiched in between, you know, in between Adams and Robinson. So amazing. I mean, Adams is the best receiver in the league right now. And I'm barely starting to forgive him for dropping two touchdown passes during championship week in 2014 when I would have won. So I'm barely gonna, you know.
Well, I'm glad that he dropped them because that's the year that I won.
Yeah. Oh man. And then, you know, and then Allen Robinson went for 1400 yards in his second year, got hurt in his fourth year. And now he's got exactly 200 receptions in the last 2 years with bad quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine what he's going to do, you know, whenever, if he ever gets a great quarterback, though. Right. I still think Andy Dalton's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, Nico, you got the 2015 draft. You could tell us about Stephon Diggs.
How good is that guy?
Taken in round five, number 146 overall.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's funny because Allen Robinson, I had picked him up and I thought, oh, okay. And then Diggs, I'm like, but you're kind of going off of the potential, or, you know, it's one of those things like you never know, you know, that type of thing. And it kind of looked like I did know, but I didn't know.
But Diggs, look at the draw.
You know what you don't know, right?
I mean, at that point, the Vikings had hit on Adam Thielen, who was an undrafted free agent. And so they got Diggs. I you know, in round five, I mean, to get a stud like that.
That is wild.
900 yards as a rookie. You know, last year he went for 1,500 and won, you know, and Nico, if you don't have a Stephon Diggs jersey or at least a T-shirt for what he did in week 16 for you or Josh Allen.
But it's a half jersey. It's Dig Allen, you know.
Dig Allen.
but how amazing. He was the 19th receiver taken that draft.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, and you know, and Tyler Lockett went in that draft in round three. He was the ninth receiver went. And here's a crazy one. Darren Waller went in round six as a receiver, the 204th pick by Baltimore. And wow. I mean, look at those guys. I mean, Lockett's
crazy.
Lockett's turned into a stud. You know, he's kind of like Robin to DK Metcalf's Batman right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's good. And Waller has turned himself, you know, he battled some demons. Good for him. Got himself cleaned up, changed positions. And in 2019, he becomes one of the top 10 tight ends in football. Baller. Waller the baller. So,
yeah, you just got to keep away from stuff. So let's put him in Vegas. Let's put him in Vegas.
And he's somehow stayed clean. Good for him.
Good for him.
And you know what? He's a guy we're going to be picking, you know, who's getting picked early because the elite tight ends are so rare.
Few and far between, man. We have a flex position, but definitely it's good to have, if you can fill your tight end slot, you know, that's always nice.
Very good to fill the tight end slot. Well, filling out this show, we're gonna can't guard Mike 2016 draft
hashtag
picked as the in round two as number 47. So we hinted at him a little bit last week because, you know, we talked about a couple guys who got picked in front of him who didn't pan out, Josh Doxson and Laquan Treadwell. But I mean, what an amazing run that Michael Thomas has been on. Mm-hmm. What an amazing run. 92 receptions in his rookie year. And just
because he had Drew Brees. I mean, that's also a big part of it.
Very true.
But he's also a big target. I mean, but that doesn't happen without him catching the ball. So yeah, sure. The guy's definitely talented. But you know, I think he's going to definitely fall a couple rounds, you know, come next draft. He's going to go maybe third round ish, fourth round, you think?
I'd say third round in drafts.
Yeah.
You know, I could still see him being a top 10 wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Though I did say one of my favorite moments that we've had on the podcast this year is when I asked Ricky to pick between Keenan Allen and Michael Thomas. And all he said was, shut up. Cállate. No, nada para ti. But I mean, who do you guys want to see be his quarterback this year? Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill?
I'd probably like to see Jameis Winston just to see if it was a coaching thing. Because Jameis Winston, I mean, in college, the guy was just like a super duper stud. So I know he's got it in him to do that. And, you know, he was a. You know, over there with Bruce Arians, high flying, you know, liberal offense. You know, he was allowed, I think, to throw a whole lot more or to do a lot of things that he probably shouldn't have. I think the coaches should have probably reined him in a little bit and said, hey man, you know, maybe worked on him over with a couple things and do things a little bit differently, you know, maybe a little bit of discipline over there. I think that in Tampa Bay just didn't happen. So he just kept throwing picks after picks after picks. And they didn't really, it didn't seem like he got the guidance that he needed over there. So I'm hopefully that now that, you know, Sean Payton's, you know, in charge and guiding him, you know, Sean Payton was, he was a quarterback, right?
Yep.
So, yeah. So it seems like the planets are lining up for Jameis Winston now that, you know, he can get some good discipline there. And, you know, I think this is the right formula for him to succeed. So I'd like to see him be the quarterback over there in New Orleans, just to see if I'm right, you know, because I think he's set up for success. So I'd like to see that.
I'd love to see that. Nico, you're a Jameis or Taysom guy?
I think we should bring in Mark Sanchez, you know,
because we need a Latino quarterback.
I like Winston. I think everyone has a, you know, when you're successful your whole life, you know, and I can totally relate to that in my bowling career.
Earl Anthony.
Yeah, Earl Anthony. But no, you grow up. He could grow out and grow up. You know, it's one of those things. So I think, you know, if he gets a chance, he practices, practice, then we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, getting that guidance from Sean Payton, and I think he'll learn from his from the lessons from the Arians offense. I mean, those are two great quarterback gurus, and I'm going to be very intrigued with what he does, and I hope he really unleashes Michael Thomas. So that's going to be fun. Yeah. I'm fired up. I'm fired up for the draft, boys. I want to see who's going to be. You know, we're going to be going crazy on round one. I really think it's going to be round 2-3 where we're going to see these guys, you know, some future all pro guys and maybe some gold jacket guys. But after we see all those quarterbacks and Kyle Pitts and all those receivers get picked in the first round. So
I think this is going to be a year like no other. I mean, first of all, these guys are going to come back to fans for the first time in a year.
Yes. See.
And I think these guys are going to appreciate because, you know, you were faced with so many obstacles and so many things. I mean, we're talking about upheaval of society. We're talking about epidemic, all this thing. So I think people are going to appreciate what they have and what they do. So I think it's the mature players are really going to shine in this whole deal. And the guys that, you know, and the true poets out there, they'll sit there and look at the game. So.
Well, a lot of these guys have made a lot of poetry over the years. So thanking them and thanking my primos. Because eso es todo for our show.
That's right.
Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets out into the familia community. Please make sure to subscribe and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. And you can find original content at familiaffb.com. Remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at familiaffb. Hector, where do they find you?
What the heck? Two T's.
Don't forget Ricky Torres TV for Primo Ricky. And you got me at Jorge Martin 17. We're going to get Nico on Twitter one of these days.
When you don't find me. I find you.
Oh, man. And don't forget our Familia FFP Facebook page, everybody. Gracias. One more week till the draft.
Yeah.
Make sure get your cheves ready, your chelas, your cheladas, your tequila, all of that stuff.
And all remember, that stuff.
Because remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.